All set?
Yep, we're live.
Okay, stand by. Here we go.
Standing by.
The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. Jesus is Lord. I don't know about you, but I feel like I need some encouragement tonight. You know, David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, there are times when things are not looking good, feeling good, but I'm telling you, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And we can encourage ourselves and encourage one another. I find so often that the best medicine is finding somebody else that you can encourage, someone else that you can preach to, someone else that you can share your testimony with. And so let's encourage one another tonight. Let's strengthen and help one another tonight by getting in the Word of God. I encourage you, if you're watching on Facebook right now, to share this this live broadcast so that others can also tune in. And if you're listening on realityradio101.com, go ahead and send out a link to somebody, send a text message, a WhatsApp, a messenger, however you communicate, and just send them realityradio101.com, and then it'll create a URL. And then when they get it, they can click on it and they'll join us tonight. Praise God. And we're going to have a great show. I'm really excited. There's a lot of good stuff going on. I know that for some of you, especially in Canada, that, you know, we're having to fight off a weariness. This COVID-19 deal's been going on for well over a year. And, you know, some people feel trapped. You can't travel, can't see family. And, you know, it can be challenging. But what we need to know is that this too shall pass. Praise God. And so we're going to see that in the scripture in just a moment. And then we've already got questions that have come in tonight. Love to answer your question on the air tonight. Love to talk to you on the air tonight. You can get on board right now by emailing us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. And if you would like to talk with me tonight, just put in the subject Zoom, and our producer, Gary, will send you back a link and we'll get you on the air. Man, we would love to talk with you tonight. And love to take your questions, your praise reports, your testimonies, your Bible questions, whatever you got going, man. You need prayer tonight. Something's going on. You're not alone. And that's really one of the number one biggest lies that the enemy uses, is he tells you that you're all by yourself and you got to go through this thing all by yourself. No, man, you don't ever have to go through anything by yourself. No man is an island. God has created us to help each other, to strengthen one another. Proverbs says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So we're going to get through whatever we're going through together. We are the body of Christ. Every joint supplies. We are all members of his body. We're all together. We're family. Praise the Lord. So we're gonna help each other get through these challenging times. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into the word tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you, Father, that you are love and you are good. There's no darkness in you. There's no shadow of turning. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are pure light and you are perfect in all of your ways, and we love you tonight. We bless all of our listeners right now. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening each one of us with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that the anointed one may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the depth, the length, the height, and know the love of the anointed one that passes knowledge. I bless this radio audience and all those on Facebook. Thank you, Father, for peace and joy filling them tonight, answering questions, moving by your Spirit. Have your way. We're excited about this time with you and this time with one another. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, thank you for moving by your Spirit and blessing your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Turn with me, if you will, to our text, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse, I think we will start with verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Notice that. That word I believed is the Greek word pistis. Pistis means assurance, confidence, persuasion. It's not talking about mental knowledge. There's a great book. It's on my bookshelf here somewhere. It's by a man named E.W. Kenyon. And the book is called Two Kinds of Knowledge. There's sense knowledge, and then there's revelation knowledge. There's a Greek word that's translated in the King James, knowledge. We see it quite often. And the Greek word is epignosis. Epignosis. E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. Epignosis. It comes from the word gnosis. But epig, when you add it on there, it gives the word meaning full and complete knowledge, or another way of saying full and complete knowledge is revelation knowledge. It's knowledge that only comes from the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 13 says that we are known fully by God, but when we see him, 1 John chapter 3, we'll know him even as we are known. He knows us perfect. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Well, when we are operating in the epignosis, the complete knowledge of God, and it's not total and complete, but we can get more completeness and awareness about certain things when the Spirit of God reveals it to us. Well, this is a prayer I just prayed over all of us, and it's what God wants us to operate in. He said that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That scripture says that you might be filled with the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. The word wisdom in the Greek is the word Sophia, talking about knowing how to accurately apply knowledge. Then you have the word revelation, that you'd be filled with the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. The word revelation is the Greek word apokalypsis. It means an unveiling, a revealing. That word was used in ancient Greek times to describe a Greek play. And in a play, they would have different curtains that would reveal a scene and reveal an act that was going on. And the people would be behind that curtain, but you couldn't see it until the curtain was pulled back. Well, when the spirit of revelation is in operation in our life, then the curtain is pulled back and we can see what's going on. That is critically important, especially when we're going through a test and a trial. I was just telling somebody recently, I said, things are going to turn out good for you. Things are going to turn out better. Now, right now, they're going through very difficult times and times of darkness and times of difficulty and times of betrayal and all this kind of stuff and emotions that are connected with it. But when God begins to reveal to you his plan, see, Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. I'm going to turn there real quick. Jeremiah 29:11, awesome scripture. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The word thoughts here is the Hebrew word mahasaba. And mahasaba means plans, purpose, work. God says, I know my purpose for you. I know my plan for you. I know that everything is going to turn out right. As a matter of fact, if you could see your future right now, you would need some really dark sunglasses, because your future is so bright and so big and so powerful. You have no clue. You're like, no, it's not. You, pastor, you don't know who I am. You don't know. You just have no idea. Yeah, I do. And I know my God. And I know you're a child of God. And I know that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Your future is bigger and brighter and better and bigger than you could ever possibly imagine. I'm telling you, it's going to take all eternity to comprehend what God has done for you and I in Christ. It is huge. It is big. It is spectacular. It is mind-boggling. Praise God. It's glorious. Praise God. The glory of God will be flowing through us, our bodies, our spirits, our souls for all eternity. It's going to take all eternity to get to know what is the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. God is going to take all eternity to reveal his love to us, to reveal his plan to us. Praise God. Right now, we got to use our faith and trust him and believe what his word says. One of the greatest prayers that you can pray over yourself is the Ephesians chapter 1 prayer, that God would grant unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened, that I might know. No. Let's go there real quick. Man, I know I'm in 15 different scriptures right now at the same time, but let's go to Ephesians. Turn in your Bibles real quickly to Ephesians 1, about the 18th verse, 17th verse, that he would that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, here's this word knowledge. This word knowledge is epignosis. It's talking about revelation knowledge, discernment, full and complete understanding. This word knowledge is found 20 times in the scripture. You want to do a good Bible study, look up this word in the concordance and go to every scripture where we find this word in the New Testament, epignosis. It's in the Strong's, it's 1922. 1922 is the Greek Strong's number. You say, well, I don't know what any of that means. Well, you open up your computer and you pull up a Strong's concordance, and this number, 1922, is this Greek word, epignosis. And this word means full and complete knowledge. There's another word that you may have heard of before in the Greek, and it's the word gnosko. Gnosko also means knowledge, but it refers to carnal knowledge. This word gnosko is used many times, and it's one of the ways that we are to know God. We're to also know him, gnosko. Gnosko is also the Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse. It's talking about carnal knowledge. And he also wants us to have that kind of knowledge of him. I'm not talking sexual now. Don't get all spooky on me. I'm talking about having a reality in your life. God is real. I mean, he is more real to me than anything that I could possibly imagine. Now, when I was raised up as a religious boy, I was an altar boy. I did lit candles. I did all these kind of religious things. I knew a lot about religion, took theology, but I didn't know God. There's a difference between mental knowledge and revelation knowledge. You can have head knowledge about God, but not have this knowledge intimate, revealed, revelation, understanding, intimacy. that there's a big difference between the two. It's like if I read a book about George H.W. Bush, and I read about all the things that he did, all of the things that he accomplished in his life, his history, I would know a lot about him. But I've never met George H.W. Bush, and in this life, I never will meet him because he's passed away. So that knowledge that we are to have of God is different than head knowledge. You know, he wants us to know him. He wants us to have a personal relationship with him. And that's what it's all about. Not head knowledge, but revelation knowledge. And this is a prayer that Paul taught and prayed over the church at Ephesus. And every single Christian should pray this over themselves and pray this over other believers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would grant unto us, that's the Father, would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epignosis, in the full and complete knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of the expectation of his calling. Praise God. His calling is that the invitation that we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God. And so we need this knowledge. Well, listen, God has a great plan for your life. Whatever difficulty you might be going through right now, whatever trials you might be going through right now, the scripture tells us that through your prayers, these things are working together for your good. You say, what are you talking about? Where does it say that? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, and we know that all things are working together for our good, to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. What things are working together? Well, if you back up two verses, he says, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for the saints with groanings which cannot be articulated. It's talking about when you pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you're praying out God's perfect will. Well, what did he say right here? He said that God would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. When you're praying in tongues, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. That's talking about tongues. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mystery. Oh, pastor, don't talk about tongues. I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm Episcopalian. I don't believe in tongues. Well, do you believe in the Bible? Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, that they were all filled with the Spirit and they all began to speak in tongues. Oh, well, that's passed away. Really? Well, the scripture tells us in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. No, man, God don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by the way, you know, on God's timetable, the day of Pentecost, which is in the Hebrew Shavuot, was only 2 days ago, because 2 Peter chapter 2 or 3, he says, for a day to the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Psalm 90 says the same thing. A day to the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. So don't think that anything in this book has changed. The problem is that so often what we do is we try to understand things with our carnal knowledge. We try to understand things with our brain. But what we need to do is see things through the eyes of the Spirit. That's why we need to pray this Ephesians 1 prayer, which is that God would grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Going back to Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know. Now, the word thoughts here in the Hebrew, once again, should have been translated plans. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans of peace. The word peace is your shalom, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, and not of evil. You say, well, if God's got plans of good for me, what I'm going through right now is not good. What the trial I'm dealing with right now is not good. Well, my friend, it ain't over. What's the old saying, Gary? It ain't over.
after the fat lady sings.
Come on, and she ain't even warmed up yet. She ain't even on stage, praise God. So don't you be moved because of time. Don't you be moved just because you think, well, I'm getting old. I'm a whole 64 years old, and I'm just getting old, and I'm over the hill, and all this kind of garbage. No, man, you just begun. As a matter of fact, the time that we have in this natural body, we are promised 120 years, according to Genesis chapter 6. Moses lived 120 years and his forces were not abated and his eyesight did not grow dim. Moses didn't die because he was old. He died because he had expired the days that God had promised to man, which is 120. I don't know about you, but I'm believing God for 120. Now, there are days my back hurts. There's days I'm dealing with certain things, and I know I got to eat healthy and exercise and take care of myself, but my faith is believing God for 120 years. I know the Lord told a precious man of God a while back, he's about 84 now, and he said, brother, or he said, son, I don't have very many 120-year-olds. I need you to continue on. I need others to see that I am faithful to do what my word says. But guess what is required? Faith is required. It takes faith to believe and to receive everything that God has promised. It would be easy to just say, oh man, I just want to go home to heaven. But guess what? That would be selfish, because God's got a work for us to do. He said, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to bring you an expected end, praise God. And then he says in verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all my heart. Oh, how he loves us. Praise God. Go to James chapter 5 for a minute now, and then we'll get to your questions. If you want to email us tonight, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you have a Bible question, a praise report, a testimony, whatever you got, email me instudio101@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Where'd I tell you to go? James? Go with me to James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming. I think I tell you and remind you every single broadcast that we have. You need to keep that before you. Jesus is coming. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. The word patient here is the Greek word epomene. Oh, no, it's not. Hallelujah. The word patient here is macrothumeo. There's two words here for patient. We see it in James chapter 1. It is what I just said, epomene. Here, it's macrothumeo. Macrothumeo means to be long-spirited, to be forbearing, to be patient, to bear long, to suffer long. Praise God. It's actually translated long-suffering in one time. We only see it 10 times in the New Testament. And here he says, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, which is talking about the Father. Jesus said, my Father is the husbandman, which we find in John, St. John chapter 15. The word husbandman means gardener. My Father is the gardener, and he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience, macrothumeo, for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, macrothumeo. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And then he talks about walking in love. And that's what we talked about in church today, praise God. Walking in love is the end of the commandment. Praise God. Amen. Let me say hello to some of my folks here on Facebook. Good evening to Wendy, Joan, Susanna, Susan, Andrew, Gilda, Garfield, Veronica, Pauline, my beautiful mother, Judy, Veronica, praise God, Dulari, Vince, Brenda, Margaret, Odelia, Praise God. All these beautiful, wonderful people. Got a good audience right now on Facebook. Give me a like and a share. I only see, I only have two shares, and I can't tell how many likes I have. But go ahead and give me a quick share and a quick like, and that will boost the number of people that are watching us tonight. Praise God. All right. Oop, here come the likes. The likes are coming. Hey, my pastor, my buddy, Pastor Ryan Sutton. Man, if you got time, Ryan, get on the air with us. Give me a quick email in studio 101. You can say hi to everybody in studio 101. And you can answer some of these questions with me, too. Ryan is one of the pastors that's been on with me on Ask the Pastor on Fridays. He's a great brother. So if he has time, go ahead and email us real quick and just put in Zoom, and Gary will get you, our producer will get you connected on. Praise God. Love you, Pastor Ryan. Compton, I got a question here. Let me see if I have any other questions on Facebook. Praise the Lord. Did Christ actually become a sinner as Adam was? Now, I know Brother Compton thinks someone needs to know the answer to this question, because he could get up and preach the answer to this question. Brother Compton's one of our precious men of God in the church who is full of the Word of God. So let me answer this question. Did Christ actually become a sinner as Adam was? And the answer is no. And there's a few scriptures we can go to. Let's go to one, though, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, the word here for he was made sin, the word made here is the Greek word poieo, and it means to make, to appoint, to commit, to lay upon. And so Jesus did not transgress as Adam did. Adam was a transgressor. Adam committed high treason. Adam willfully sinned against God. Jesus did not sin against God. Jesus was poieo. He was made sin. Sin was placed upon him. And at that moment that sin was placed upon him, Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, labakhthani," which is to say in Aramaic, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, he cried that out in the name of all humanity. And we see that also in the book of Psalms. And he cried out that because at that moment, the Father turned his back on Jesus because of us, because Jesus was made sin. He took the sins of the whole world upon him. Isaiah 53 says, "It pleased the Father to bruise him, that many would become sons," and that includes you and I, praise God, that he would bring many sons to glory. And then it says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, or in Christ. The word made here is ginomai. Ginomai means to be assembled, to be married to, covenant, to partake of, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And so our spirits are reborn through the operation and the regeneration of the Spirit the moment we believe. That's why you can't earn your salvation. You can't deserve your salvation. There's nothing you can do to purchase your salvation. It is the gift of God. How do you receive this gift? By one thing, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you pass from death unto life. Praise God. Great question to help other people, because I know Brother Compton knows the answer to that question. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's go to another question that I got earlier. Again, if you want to email us tonight, I would love to hear from you. InStudio101 at gmail.com. That's InStudio101
Faith101@gmail.com. And the question that came in earlier, as soon as I find it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. It's here somewhere. Let me look in a different place. It's a two-part question. And it's from, we'll say, Anonymous. And it says, the reference is Hebrews 12:15. They're asking about Hebrews 12:15. So let's go there real quickly. Hebrews. I hope my buddy, Pastor Ryan, comes on the air tonight. He might be too busy, though. Praise God. He's got a great ministry in Festus, Missouri, where Dr. Ron Archer says, Festus is the bestest. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So the first part of the question is, what is the root of bitterness? It's a great question. So let's look it up from the Greek. So root, of course, we know is something that shoots out or springs out. That's a root. Shoots out or springs out. But he says here it's a root that shoots out or springs out of bitterness. And bitterness is talking about hatred. It's talking about poison. A root of bitterness really springs from unforgiveness. And unforgiveness, of course, will turn into hatred. Hatred in the New Testament is murder. And so a root of bitterness is something that springs up from unforgiveness. And we actually talked about this all day in church today, about the love of God and about what God has called us to do in the new covenant. The new commandment in the new covenant is to love one another, which means that we have to choose to walk in forgiveness regardless of what someone has done. Well, if you don't, what then happens is that this root of bitterness will begin to work on the inside of you. And when it does, he says that you can fail of the grace of God. Now that is really heavy and deep. He says you can fail of God's grace. Well, the only way that we are saved, we're not saved by faith. Get that out of your head. You're not saved by faith. Faith is the conduit to which we receive grace. But we're saved by grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's the gift of God. It's nothing you can earn. It's nothing you can deserve. It is given to us, praise God. And so he says here that if you allow a root of bitterness in your life, he said it's going to spring forth, and he says you're going to fail of the grace of God. That's why unforgiveness is not an option. You must choose to forgive. Praise God. The second part of this question is, why was Esau rejected when he sought repentance diligently with tears? Now, I don't know that I have a full and complete answer on this. I'm not saying it's not in the scripture, but this is what I strongly believe. We know that worldly sorrow worketh death. We even see this worldly sorrow working in the life of Judas. And of course, we're celebrating Holy Week. Today was Palm Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday to everybody. Those, my Jewish friends, happy Pesach. It's Passover as well. That started yesterday. And what happened with Judas is Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, for 50 bucks. And he sold him out. And afterwards, he was sorry that he did it. He wasn't repentant. He was sorry that he did it. And so what happened? He threw the money back. Even what he sold Jesus for, he threw it back, and then he killed himself. So when you look in, let's see. Let me find the scripture here real quick. I think it's in Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. It says, for godly sorrow works repentance. Godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So he sought for repentance with tears. That doesn't mean that he was repentant. There's a big difference. The scripture talks about how, let's see, it's in 2 Timothy. I'm trying to think how the scripture goes. That he would grant, I think it's grant repentance. That and we find from this verse in Timothy that repentance is a gift from God. So certainly seeking repentance is scriptural. However, you have to be repentant. And there's a big difference between being sorry. A lot of times people are sorry that they got caught, but they're not sorry that they did what they did. And there's a huge difference between the two. 2 Timothy 2:25 in the NIV, it says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. But here is something we have to understand. Repentance is something that we must do. It's not something that God will make us or can make us do. And we also see this in Hebrews, the fifth, I believe it's Hebrews 5 or Hebrews 6. Hebrews, let's go there real quick. Hebrews 6 and verse 4. Hebrews 6 and verse 4. And it says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift. That's Jesus. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They have tasted of the good word of God. They've got epignosis. They've got revelation of the word of God and the powers of the world to come. That's the gifts of the Spirit. The word powers here is dunamis. That's the gifts of the Spirit. There are nine gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. If these folks fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. It doesn't say that they can't repent. It says they won't repent. I don't see in the scripture where it says that Esau couldn't repent. It says that he sought repentance, but it doesn't say that he repented. Compare Esau to David. Is God going to be a respecter of persons? Is God not going to do for one what he'll do for another? No. David got into a place where for 1 year, he went through this period of sin in his life. He went through multiple periods of sin in his life. Even when he was in Ziklag, he was in a total backslidden state. But before Ziklag, when David had killed had slept with Bathsheba, committed adultery, got her pregnant. He then conspired to kill Bathsheba's wife, Uriah the Hittite, and did it. He died. He got killed because of David. And then a whole year went by. David had the son from Bathsheba. The baby died. And then God sent the prophet Nathan to David. And the prophet Nathan began to say, there's a man who came into a city and had was very rich, and he wanted to have a party for his friends. But there was another man there that had a lamb, and it was a precious lamb to him. He even slept with this lamb in his bed. He went everywhere with this lamb. And this rich man said, I want that lamb. I want to kill it and feed it to my friends. And he did that, took it away from him, killed it, and fed it to his friends. And David said, who's the man? I'll kill him. And David and the prophet Nathan said, you're the man. You're the one that did this. And David knew immediately what he had done, and that now his sin was coming to light. But we don't see that David was sorry that he got caught. David was sorry that he sinned. He fell down on his face and he said, God, I have sinned against you. And at that moment is where we find the sure mercies of David. You know, sometimes when we sin and even get caught up in sin, we can become so overwhelmed by condemnation and by judgment. But God says that if you'll repent, I'll receive you. If you'll confess your sin, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Praise God. And so don't ever think that you have sinned so bad that God will not cleanse you, that God will not forgive you. But what God is looking for is true repentance. Praise God. If you have a follow-up to that question or any other question, I'd love to hear from you tonight. InStudio101@gmail.com. That's InStudio101@gmail.com. Let's get to some of our friends tonight. Let me check Facebook one more time. Let's see. Pastor Ryan says, I'm not anywhere that I can log on right now. I'm honored that you asked. I would love to in the future. This is awesome. I'm sharing it. Praise God, Pastor Ryan. Love to hear from you, man. Maybe in the next couple weeks. I know next week is Resurrection Sunday. Of course, I'll be here with my friends on RealityRadio101.com. So you can come on anytime. I've got another friend, Dr. William Luffman, is coming on. He was supposed to come on tonight, but he had some friends that popped in from out of town and really wanted to minister to them. So he asked if I would let him out. And I said, of course. Take care of your friends. You know, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So he'll be coming on with us on April 11th. Praise God. And then I got my wife's birthday coming up on April 22nd. Praise the Lord. I married a really young wife. I think she's going to be 29. Praise God. On April 22nd. So you'll help me wish her a very happy birthday. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's get to some of your questions tonight. And our actual first question that's come on since we went on the air is from our friend. Oop, I already answered that question. She figured out how to send it to me. Let's get to another question. We got a question here from our friend Peter. Peter says, hello, Pastor. All of the things that are not right in the eyes of God seem to be welcomed and cherished by the left. Here is an example of Cain and Abel regarding our modern gun restrictions. Just trying to make a point that guns do not hop up from somewhere and kill people. People and sin kill people. Thanks. Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Peter. And this is not a politically correct show. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize this is not a politically correct show, right, Gary? I'm not going to get in trouble for...
That's correct. No. Don't you worry.
I'm just playing. Trust me, I'm not worried. Did you know, Gary, that Jesus actually said if you don't have a gun, you should go buy one?
I do have. You taught that or said
that. I taught that before. It's been a while, though, hasn't it? A couple years, maybe. Yes. So let me show you. It's in Luke. Praise God. I got to just find it real quick on my computer. It's in Luke 22, verse 36. A lot of people don't realize this, that Jesus said, man, evil times are coming, and you're going to be sent out there as lambs among wolves. And here's what he said in Luke chapter 22. Let's start with verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse, let's read this, Luke 22, 35. Let's read it from the NLT. And it says, beginning with verse 35. And Jesus asked them, when I sent you out to preach the good news, and you did not have money, a traveler's bag, a pair of sandals, did you lack anything? No, they replied. But now, he said, take your money and a traveler's bag, and if you don't have a sword. Now, back then, they carried swords. Today, we carry Glocks or Smith & Wesson or Winchester, praise God. He said, if you don't have one, he said, sell your coat and buy one. Verse 37, for the time has come for this prophecy about me to be fulfilled. He was counted among the rebels. Yes, everything written about me by the prophets will come true. And then one of the disciples said, look, Lord, they replied, we have two swords among us. And Jesus said, that's enough. In other words, if you got a primary weapon and a backup weapon, you're all set. Hallelujah. Praise God. Gary knows about that. We're both from the U.S., so we have a little bit of a different mindset. Praise God. But we both had to change our mindset living in this socialist government.
I had to, when I carried all my life in the States.
I did too.
Right? Yep. And of course, when I immigrated here, I had to give up my weapons.
As a pastor, I carried a gun. I used to work in Detroit, the East Side.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of the folks that I worked with, man, they all carried. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Jesus, you know, we see it right here in Luke. Praise God. Now, I remember when I first got saved, my attitude was, man, God will defend me. His angels will defend me. I don't need to carry a gun. I don't need to defend myself. But that's ignorant. And I'm not saying, you know, Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. I'm not saying that the gun is going to be your protection and your defense. God is our protection. God is our defense. And yet God will give you tools and he will bless you in using those. We even see in Romans chapter 13 that the soldiers, the police, that they are ministers of God and that they bear not the sword in vain. Now, sword there would today in modern vernacular would be a Glock or Smith & Wesson, Beretta. It would not be a sword like a knife, praise God. But back then, that's what they carried to defend themselves. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So great question, Peter. Thank you for that. And Peter, we call you blessed in Jesus' name. Hey, don't forget when you're writing to us, let us know where you are writing from. Praise the Lord. We just like to know. Another email here tonight. By the way, we got our numbers from last week. And once again, we went up. We have 51 new listeners from last week's radio broadcast, and we had listeners from Austria, Barbados. I think I know who's listening in Barbados. Praise the Lord. England, Greece, Jamaica, Libya, Mali, Monaco, Panama, Russia, the United States, and coming in at the number one number of listeners is from, oh, Canada. Praise God. We always have the most listeners from Canada, and that always blesses my heart. 55+ 100 listeners just on radio, and then a few hundred more on Facebook. Praise God. What a privilege to come into your houses every single week. Got another email here tonight from our friend Hannah. Hannah says, good evening, Pastor. Who were the Bereans in the Bible, and what significance were they in Scripture? Just curious. Man, Hannah, you are a scholar. That is a great question. We find the Bereans, and I'm going to have to refresh my memory here real quick, in the book of Acts. And I'm going to look it up real quick here and refresh my memory. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 17:11, we see mention of the Bereans. And it says, and the people of Berea were more than open-minded than those in Thessalonica or Thessalonica. And they listen eagerly to Paul's message. They search the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. Praise God. I'm going to have to look it up to give you more information on the Bereans. Let me see what else I can find here. I need a scholar like Dr. Ryan to come on and give us some information. I might come back to that one. Maybe my wife can grab a book real quick on the Bereans. Praise God. And if we have time, let me check this one out real quick. If we have time, we'll come back to it. But it is a great question. But we see what they did. Now, in terms of what the Bible says, there's not much more that the Bible says about the Bereans, except we see here that they were those who studied. And as a result of their studies, many men and women came to the knowledge of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we'll come back to that one. But Hannah, it's a great question. And thank you for that, praise God. Not too often do I get stumped, but you got me tonight. So we'll come back to it, praise God. Hannah, we call you blessed in Jesus' name. Got another email here tonight from our friend Gail. Gail says, hello, Pastor. Always look forward to your very encouraging words at the beginning of your radio show. I always feel better. Thank you for the gift. Amen, Gail. Me too. Praise God. When I'm encouraging others, I am encouraging myself. And we all need encouragement. If you're feeling discouraged, don't think that you're by yourself, because you're not. There are times when we're all going through challenging times, praise God. Jesus actually said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. If everything's going good, I kind of wonder sometimes if people are in the will of God. Because when you're in the will of God, Satan is going to attack you. And Jesus even said that in the world, you are going to have tribulation. That word tribulation is the Greek word thlipsis, T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S, and it means pressure. And so when you're going through pressure and difficulty, it comes from the enemy. It doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. And of course, he uses your flesh to put pressure on you, praise God. And so don't be moved by the pressure. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will always bring us through with victory in Jesus' name. Gail, call you blessed in the name of Jesus. Got another email here tonight from our friend Craig. Craig says, hi, Pastor. I saw this online and it says it all. This little thing says, sometimes the person you need to talk to the most is in heaven. Amen. And the person we need to talk to the most is Jesus. Oh, that's good, brother. Sometimes the person you need to talk to the most is in heaven. Love it. Thank you. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Got another email here tonight from our friend William. William says, good evening. Blessings to you from Arizona. Pastor, how does someone get eternal salvation? Do we earn it? Thank you. Great question, William. The answer, of course, is found in the scripture. And we would go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is the gift of salvation. So you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough. You can't give enough money to the poor. You can't do any works. Why? Because salvation is not about what you do. You cannot save yourself. You cannot make yourself righteous. Jesus is our Savior. And Jesus was made sin for us. And as we believe on him, we receive his righteousness. We talked about this a little earlier from 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then how do you get saved? Well, that's found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And it says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. And so again, it's not earned, it's not deserved. And then the next verse says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're not saved tonight and you say, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, then you're not. Because if you were saved, you would know that you're saved. If you've experienced the love of God, you would know that you've experienced the love of God. So pray this prayer, William. And if there's anybody else right now that you don't know Jesus, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say this prayer with me right now. We're all going to say it out loud together. Just say this. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. I renounce all sin. And I say with my mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. Thank you for saving me now. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer right now from your heart, God has answered your prayer. And a new work has begun on the inside of you. And now it's important to begin to grow in your faith. How do you grow in your faith? You need to find a good church that teaches the Bible. You need to start reading your Bible every day. You can go to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. We've got information for you there. You can also write us and we will help you. Praise God. Get involved in a Bible reading program. We have one on our website, spiritoffaithradio.com, and we will help you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Awesome question, William. Thank you for that tonight. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend John. John says, hi, from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, praying for the world. Any tips? Well, we talked about this earlier, John. Praying for the world, you don't want to pray for the world as if they're Christians. So the way that you pray for them is you pray that God would send forth laborers across their path. Is there a small portion of this you can just highlight for me, honey? My wife bought me a whole encyclopedia printouts on the Bereans. I just want to read a small portion, or you can tell them. Praise God. Amen. Praying that God would send forth laborers across the harvest, interceding for the lost, praying in the spirit, praying for those that don't know the Lord to come to know the Lord. The biggest one is that laborers would be sent forth across their paths. And then also you can bind up that mind-blinding spirit that the scripture talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. Praise God. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Praise God. So, pray for the lost. Praise God. Thank you for that tonight. John, call you blessed in Jesus' name. Got another email here tonight from our friend Bonnie. Bonnie says, hello. I know in some other religions it is taught that we come back here to the earth several times until we get it right. That's called reincarnation. Then go to our eternal place. Is this true or semi-true? How do we know that it is not true? It makes sense to me. So it's a great question, Bonnie, and I really appreciate that tonight. So the truth is found in one place. And of course, the truth has to be received by faith. And the truth is found in the Word of God. This book is the truth, period. And so this book tells us clearly in Hebrews that man is appointed once unto death and then the judgment. So you only live once. You only get one shot at it. Kind of Drake doesn't know Jesus, but Drake says YOLO, you only live once. And it's true. You only live once. And you only get this one opportunity in this life. However, you are going to live forever in one place or another. Those that are eternal criminals that have not received the Savior, who have not received forgiveness of sins, they will go straight to hell after they die in this life. And then from hell, which is only a holding place, they will then be judged according to their works. Every person will stand before God, and when they stand before God, God will judge them out of the books based on all of the things that they have done wrong. Those that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior receive eternal life the moment that they do, which means they never die. Your body may die, but you don't die. You say, well, Pastor, I really don't believe that. Okay, you don't have to believe that. But one of us is right and one of us is wrong. And I certainly don't want to play Russian roulette with my salvation. The scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 5, he says, these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants us to know. He wants us to receive that knowledge. The psalmist said, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Try God and you'll find out how real and how wonderful he is. Praise God. Bonnie, thank you so much for that. I pray that you prayed that prayer of salvation with me a few minutes ago. I love you so much and I call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Quickly on the Bereans. The Bereans were considered to be more noble because of their willing reception of the Word of God. The Bereans examined what they heard by comparing it to the Old Testament scriptures. They guarded Paul's safety, and they continued to grow in their faith. Sopater, the Berean, the son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him in Acts chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. Sopater, likely a Gentile Christian, continued to assist Paul and Timothy in ministry long after Paul's first visit to Berea. In summary, the Bereans have long been seen as a positive example of how a person or community should respond to biblical teaching. We are called to eagerly learn from God's word, and no matter who the teacher is, to investigate new teaching in comparison with the Bible. The practice of the ancient Bereans is a model for all who desire to grow spiritually today. Great answer. Thank you for that, Pastor Cheryl. She just found that for us. Praise God. By the way, she and I are going to be going with Bishop Butler and many others to Israel on November 1st. Those of you that are friends of Spirit of Faith Radio, you know Pastor Dr. Chris Palmer, good friend of mine. He and his dad are also going on this trip and many others. It's November 1st to November 11th. If you'd like to go to Israel with us, you can get more information by going to spiritoffaithradio.com. The information is all on there, spiritoffaithradio.com. You can also go to our website, wordoffaithtoronto.com/Israel 2021. I got just a couple minutes left here. Let's get to Pam. Pam says, what is the rich young ruler referred to in the Bible? Do we know much about him, or what his point was? So the rich young ruler was someone who was a Jew. He kept all the law to the best of his ability, but he knew that there was something missing in his life. Now, we don't know his first name or any more information or how he got his riches, but we know this, that he knew something was missing, and he came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus said, keep all the commandments. And he said, I've done all that. He said, but something's missing. He said, sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and you'll have riches in heaven. But he went away sad. Why? Because his trust was not in God. His trust was in his money. And that's what kept him from God. And the scripture and the law clearly teaches, thou shalt have no idols before me. And money had become an idol to the rich young ruler. Jesus called this idol mammon. And he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Praise God. Great question, Pam. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Last three emails is here from Larry. Larry says, hi, I'm a new listener from Wichita, Kansas. Man, Wichita is a great city. Praise God. Amazing show. May God bless. Larry, we love you and call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Linda. Linda says, hi there. This is the first time that I am listening to you from Greensboro, North Carolina. Fantastic. Enlightening. Wow. I am sold. Linda, praise God, Linda. We call you blessed in Jesus' name. Last email of the night is from our friend Roy. Roy says, Pastor John, bless you. Scripture tells us to greet one another with a holy kiss, cheek to cheek, requiring an embrace. James tells us if we are sick to call to the elders and to anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So by social distancing in the house of God, are we compromising? How do we do church? Abiding by public health guidelines, abiding by the world authorities and over the word of God. Who is supreme over all? Love to hear your thoughts. Roy, it's a great question. We've been talking about this now for some time, and you are absolutely right. We do need to not be afraid. It was really on my heart today, man. People are just too afraid. I want to hug everybody, but it's almost like this fear of offending people because you hug them. I'm standing on Psalm 91 and Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The law of the spirit of life is abiding in me, and I'm free from the law of sin and death. God doesn't want us to be afraid of COVID. He doesn't want us to operate in fear in any area of our life. And I believe that the church is going to continue to rise out of this pit that we have gotten into with all this stuff regarding fear of COVID. But you know, your point is very valid, and I agree with you 100%, and we need to stop being afraid. So thank you for that tonight, Roy. And thank you everybody else for being a part of the radio show tonight. Always a great show. Oh my goodness. Look at all these emails I missed. Gary, do I have two more minutes?
You do.
Oh, bless the Lord. Don't you all love Gary? Praise God. Another email here tonight from Susan. Susan says, just saying hello from Phoenix, Arizona. Loving the show, Susan. Thank you, Susan. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Ryan. Ryan says, thanks for the faith to have faith. I needed that reassurance tonight. Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Jody. Jody says, hello, Pastor. What is the original sin? What is just one thing, or is it many sins? Thank you. No, it's one sin, Jody. And the Lord told Adam, don't eat of that fruit. It's only, I mean, the simplest commandment, don't eat that fruit. And so what does Satan do? He comes in, eat the fruit. And this is why you should eat the fruit. The woman eats the fruit, and then the woman gives it to the man, and the man eats the fruit. Why? Because the man chooses the woman over God. It is one sin, it's original sin, and it's what caused the transgression and sin to pass upon every generation because of Adam. Great question, Jody. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Last email of the night is from our friend Nancy. Nancy says, can't get enough of you, smiley face. Thank you, Nancy. I can't get enough of you and all of you all that listen every week. Man, it's such a privilege to always be with you. We love you so much. All my friends and family at Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, I love you. God loves you. I want to remind you, until next week, come with us to Israel. Visit our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. Check out my church website, wordoffaithtoronto.com. And until next week, I want to remind you that the devil is defeated, that God is exalted, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward. Right here on Reality Radio 101.